Blog Talk Radio.
The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I the Lord have spoken it, and performed it, saith the Lord.
Israel, he took me out of darkness and put me in his marvelous light. And if you could relate to that, this song's for you.
Every time I think about all he's done, how he changed my life and made it so much better, I'm just in awe. It's so amazing, yeah. Many times I was down on my knees crying, looking for the answer, but I couldn't find it at all, yeah. But he always came on time and made it right.
Cause I'm just a
Biblical Hebrews of the Bible, which is sponsored by Blog Talk Radio. I'm your sister, your host, as well as your friend and servant, Sister Georgia. Today, family, is the 11th of September, 2014. Once again, we're getting ready to get back into our Father's Word. We're going to title today's lesson, it's a spiritual understanding. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. That's the title of the lesson, and we're going to get into that because many are not fully understanding what all this is about, but we're going to get to the truth of the word. Family, a lot of what's in Scripture is a spiritual understanding. Don't let the words deceive you. You might see the word God in there, the word sons in there, the word brother in there, and if you, virgin, and you take these words for face value, not really understanding them, giving them a spiritual understanding, properly precepting them within the word. Some of the word was taken out, removed, that probably would have given you a better understanding of what the Father is speaking of. But we're going to take it to the Spirit. We're going to let the Spirit flow, and we're going to come to the truth of why did the Father say, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, before we get started, let's just give thanks and honor to our Heavenly Father. I ask everyone to raise their hands with me. Hallelujah, Father. We praise you, we thank you, and we give all honor and glory to you. Father, we're coming again to meet in the Spirit, all as one, as you would have it, to give praises and honor to you. By reading your word, Father, we ask for a blessing over this website, over my mouth, over everyone under the sound of my voice that's listening as I read your word. We ask that only the set-apart Spirit flow. We ask that by allowing those to hear your word, scales can be further removed from their eyes and they can have understanding. Father, we just thank you, we praise you for everything that you've been doing in our life and everything yet we have to look forward to. Father, we want to keep in your word, do according to what you say. We want to come back to you righteously, spiritually, and in truth. And Father, we just thank you, we praise you in Yahushua's set-apart name. We say hallelujah, huah. Thank you, Father. All right, we can get started. Now, one of the brothers, he's calling me right now. I don't know why he keeps calling me. Maybe he can't get in. Hold on a second, family. Hold on 1 second. All right, family. I'm sorry about that. When people call in when I'm having a lesson, please try not to do that because it threw me right off the switchboard. But that was the brother who was supposed to call in because he had a word to say. But maybe he'll make it in, maybe not. But what's important is we're going to get to the truth of the word. Now, it's funny because I decided to have these lessons, family, in the daytime because my grandson just started going to school. But it looks like FedEx is getting ready to come to my door. It's always something, but I'm going to continue unless I hear a knock. I'm going to continue with the lesson. I want to get this spiritual understanding because we have many new family members that are coming to us. They're studying with us, but they have been taught a perversion of Esau. And we can read the word. I'm going to tell you what the brother told me. I wanted him to tell you himself because he called me this morning. And his question was, he said, he wanted to take me to Malachi 1, and he wanted verse 2, which states, and I'll read it to you. He said, I have loved you, saith Yahushua. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau's brother, saith Yahushua? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau. And he wanted to take me to Romans 9 with the same understanding, and he said, well, so could you expound on that? And I said, you know, I'm going to say it like I said to him. I said, well, he said he hate Esau. What more is there to say? Are you asking me to redefine what the Father said? You know, many times in the Scripture, we come to the Scripture, and this is our Father's words telling you something. But many would rather me give an understanding. There's no understanding needed to be said. He said, I hate Esau. What more is there for me to say? So we went through some scripture. I said, let's just take it to a lesson for everybody because we went to Romans 9 with it, but I had to give more understanding because little bitty pieces of the puzzle people are not getting. So when we come to this Esau character everybody's like, well, wait a minute, I don't understand. But it's easy to understand. Okay, it's very easy to understand this. So we're going to get to it. Okay, that is FedEx. I'm going to put on another song, family. One moment. Put on another song, and I'll be right back. Okay, give me a second. Let me go ahead and get a song on. Hold on a second. I'm going to play this. I'll be right back. Okay, got that under all that's taken care of. Prayfully, we won't have any more interruptions. But you know, family, this is just an extra lesson. This is for your understanding. So bear with me a little bit. Let's continue going on to the word. Now, because of the fact that many are taking Esau and changing up who Esau is, and I'll be completely honest with you, the Father has been working on Esau with me, because there's more to the puzzle to Esau, but we're not going to get into that today. I'm going to have that for a special lesson. That's going to tie back into Revelation, speaking on Esau. And many people who have read, not just the scriptures that are in the Bible, but when you go to the books that were removed from the original Bible, like the Apocrypha and the Pseudepigrapha, you're going to get more clarity on Esau in the end. But we're going to stick with what the basis of who Esau is. And why did the Father say, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated? That's what we want to hit on today. So I want to turn and I'm going to go ahead and open up. Let's see. I want everybody to open up Malachi 1. I'm going to give everybody the first link where I'm reading from. And you can go ahead and open up your own scripture. I'm going to just give everybody the complete link to the scriptures on the chat line, and that way, shalom, sister, shalom, I see you there, shalom, there is the link right there, so you can open up with me, family. We're going to Malachi 1, okay, we're going to start it off by going to Malachi 1, because it's mentioned about Esau, and what the Father had to say about Esau, and this is what the brother asked me, and we had to precept it properly with the understanding that is preserved for us in his word. So when we go to Malachi 1, everybody should have it. I just posted it to the chat line. If you don't have it, you know, if you don't have it at home, write down the link so when you get your Bible, go ahead and relook at this, okay? Let's read what the Father says in Malachi 1. Remember, when we talk about the prophet Malachi, he was coming to the children of Israel during the time of Nehemiah, okay? He was directing his message of judgment to the people, plagued with corrupt priests, wicked practices, and a false sense of security in their privileged relationship with the Father. Okay? So we're talking about during the time of Nehemiah, that would have been the southern kingdom. That's who went back to rebuild the second temple. And they came from Babylon captivity. So that's what we're speaking of. This is Malachi. This is one of his prophets. So let's read what he has to say. Malachi chapter 1, verse 1. the burden of the word of our father Yahushua to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, said Yahushua, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? That's a question mark right there. Said out our father, yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. So right there, the brother asked me, well, you know, basically, why did he say he loved Jacob and hate Esau? Or no, he wanted me to expound on the reason why Esau was hated. Or is there something else that we're missing? I said, well, let's see. When the father says he hates something, he hates it. But I can go deeper for you if you need it. I said, I can't redetermine what the father has said, but we could properly precept it. Maybe this will give you more understanding. So what I took him to from Malachi 1, verses 1 through 3, speaking of how the father said he loved Jacob but hated Esau, I went ahead to Romans 9. And many of you can go ahead and flip open your Bibles. We're going to get the truth. We're going to get the truth because when you go to Malachi 1, it says, I have loved you. The father's telling his children, I've loved you. But the people say, yet, wherein hast thou loved us? Because remember, the children of Israel went under chastisement. So they want to know, well, you say you love them, but wherein have you loved us? The father comes back and says, was not Esau Jacob's brother? With a question mark. That's a question. We're going to get into that. He said, yet I loved Jacob, and I hated him. So this, once again, oh boy, hold on, family. This is Brother Moshe again. Hold on. Okay, family, I'm so sorry. He's going to be calling in. Brother Moshe was trying to call in, but he couldn't get the, I don't know what happened with him, but he's going to be calling in because he wants to say a couple things about this. But you got to understand, the children of Israel is always questioning something that the father says. That's the point. But did you realize that the father, before the foundation of the earth, there were certain things predestinated to occur? And he lets us know in Romans 9 his plan. And many people don't understand his plan because there's serpents teaching right now. So we're going to go to the truth of what our father says in Romans 9. This is going to precept Malachi 1. I have loved you, said our father. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? And then the father says, was not Esau Jacob's brother? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau. Now let's go over to Romans 9. Let's get back over to Romans 9. Okay, family. Let's go to Romans 9. Everybody go ahead and flip open. And Brother Moshe, if you're on, raise your hand, and I'll be bringing you on shortly, okay? I'm going to go ahead and bring Brother Moshe on, but you got to push the number one button in order for me to see your hand up. There you go. Okay, good. I'm going to bring Brother Moshe on for a couple seconds, family, and then we're going to get back to the lesson. Okay, Brother Moshe?
Shalom, shalom.
You got it. You made it here. I'm just curious. What was the problem? Why couldn't you get on? I'm just curious.
Oh, I didn't have the number.
Oh, do you have the internet?
I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't have
internet. That makes sense. Okay. Because I was just curious. I was looking for you from the beginning. But, brother, I was talking with the family. Explain to them why we're going over the understanding of why did the father say, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Now, you can repeat the question you asked me this morning just for our family to hear what you asked me.
Okay. I believe what I asked our sister, Sister Georgia, is could she give me her thoughts and perception on the precept starting at verses 13 of Romans 9, where it says, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. This was the question.
So when he asked me that, what I told him was, we read it, and then I said, well, I forgot exactly how I said it, but I basically asked them. I said, the father said he hate Esau. That's it. Interpretation of that.
Yeah.
And we both started laughing because what I was trying to get him to see, which is what our family needs to understand, when the father says certain things in the scripture, it's not up for personal interpretation. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said.
Yeah.
So if he say he hate Esau, he hate Esau. But as we read in Malachi, it's always our people questioning, just like we read in Malachi 1, verse 2. It says, I've loved you. He's talking to Israel, Jacob, saith our father. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Now, we're going to precept that back to Romans 9. So, brother, since you're on the phone with me, and I don't know why it's still chirping in your thing, if you're doing anything, don't do it. Because you can hear the pickup of all that, what you're doing. If you're playing with something, just leave it alone because you can hear everything.
Flipping the scriptures, okay.
No, well, you got to flip the scriptures, but don't mess with it. I mean, you'd be surprised if the radio picks up, and I want to make sure the family is getting the understanding. So let's go to Romans 9.
Because we have to
properly precept this and get the understanding and break it down with the word. So what I would like you to do, brother, if you could for me, go ahead and read verses 1 through 5 of Romans 9. We're going to break this down. Why is it the father said he hated Esau? What's the understanding behind that? And was he Jacob's brother? Let's get to the clear understanding because it's going to really break down the seed of Israel. What is the seed of Israel? So go ahead, please, brother, read Romans 9, read verses 1 through 5 for me.
Yes. I tell the truth in Yahusha. I am not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed from Yahushua, for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of Yahuwah, and the promises, of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Yahushua came, who is over all, the eternally blessed Eloah. Amen.
Okay. Now, family, verses 1 through 5 specifically gives us detailed information, because this is Paul. Now, remember, Paul was set as an apostle by Yahushua himself. I think many people understand that. On his way to Damascus, Saul was knocked down. The light came. Yahushua spoke to him, asked him why he kicking against the preachers. Then he was blind. He went to get learnt, but he was also taught by Yahushua and appointed as an apostle. So we all understand who Paul is. So here's what Paul has to say. I say the truth in Yahushua. He says, I lie not. Why should he have to even say, I lie not? You got to remember who Paul was going to. He was going to the Gentiles. The Gentiles didn't understand the truth. They had only the flesh teachers teaching them. Okay? So he's letting them know, I'm not lying here. He said, my conscience also bears me witness in the set-apart spirit. Because he's letting you know, I'm getting ready to give it to you by the spirit, not by the flesh. When he was a scribe and Pharisee, that's what he was doing. But now he's saying, I lie not. I'm getting ready to get operated and give you a message by the set-apart spirit. He says in verse 2, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I wish that myself were cursed from Yahushua, for you, my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. We're talking about spirits that are wrapped in flesh. Okay? We're talking about the specific lineage that was called. Specifically, many of these are chosen, but they're called. These are the ones in the lineage that you can read about in Matthew and Luke, leading all the way from Adam to Yahushua, 12 tribes included. So he's going to tell you something. He says, these who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption. Now, this is New Covenant. He's talking to the Israelites, the same that Yahushua, same one who knocked Paul off that horse, he was talking to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the Israelites. who did not have the truth. They were operating in the flesh. It was Yahushua in the old covenant that gave Moses the Ten Commandments, spoke to Abraham, was with Jacob, was with King David, King Solomon. He said, the word tells us, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It's written of me. He was the word in John 1. He was the word in John 1, verse 14, that was made flesh and dwelt among us, just like his brethren, just like the people, his people. So we're not telling you nothing new here. He's still talking to the same people, the Israelites, because Paul was a Benjamite of the southern kingdom of Judah. So he says, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh? Now remember, when Yahushua came, he said, take off the old man, the flesh, and put on the new man, the spirit. So Paul says, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh, Yahushua came, who is over all. He is the only mediator between the Father and his people, the children of Israel. He's the only mediator. So he's letting you know. He says over all. Now, he came Father's name to do his Father's will. So that lets you know it's only three powers of authority. Specifically, he's trying to talk to the children of Israel that kept going astray. So here's what he says to them. He says in verse 6, not as though the word of Yahuwah, which is Yahushua, the word, John 1, okay, the word was with our father Yahuwah, right? It was manifested in the flesh and walked among us, dwelt among us. Verse 14 of John 1, okay? So he says, not as though the word of Yahuwah, the word of Yahushua, hath taken none effect. Now, he's going to explain to you something because people don't understand this. It says, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. So he's going to not take it way, way back to Abraham's seed. He's going to start it right there with Israel, which is Jacob. That excludes Ishmael, excludes Esau. Okay? It excludes all those prior, if you don't get it. We're going to get to why you don't get it, but it excludes them because he's letting you know right here, this is Paul speaking the word that was given to him through the Spirit by our Heavenly Father. He says, not as though the word of Yahushua had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Now he says, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. Now, I'm going to stop just right there for a second. We know John the Baptist, when the scribes and the Pharisees and certain people of the Hebrew Israelites were coming to him, he said, don't even think to say Abraham be your father. Yahushua was talking to the scribes and Pharisees, the ones who were not supposed to be in Moses' seat, but were sitting in the law-giving seat. And he said, ye of your father the devil in John 8. Now, Yahushua says this. Just like when the brother asked me, why did the father say he hated Esau but loved Jacob? Well, he told you why. He said, because they're not all Israel. When you get to John 8:44, he tell you more about them. He said, well, ye of your father the devil. Now, I can't, like many of these Hebrew sites, say, well, you see what he was trying to say was. No. If the father puts the word out there, boom, there it is. You either accept this truth or you don't. He said, ye are of your father the devil. The lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, leading you to Cain. That's a serpent seed right there. He abodes not in the truth. The truth is the spirit. And there is no truth, or there's no spirit in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaketh of his own. See, when our father tells us something, why are you questioning it? Why are you trying to give your interpretation? Who cares what you think? Let's let the father's word speak on this. Too long, many people have been allowing personal interpretation of the father's word. That's flesh. That's devil. When you allow the flesh to overshadow the father's word, that's a devil. That's a devil right there. Mm-hmm. It's no, and I'm not saying that you're a devil if you ask a question. What I'm saying is, when people come and they, these are teachers, and they will go read that word and they'll tell you this is what it means. See what he was really trying to say? No, he said it. He said, "Ye of your father the devil." He said, "I love Jacob. I hate Esau." What more is there to say? He said it. So let's get a little bit more understanding here. Let's go. Brother, I'm going to put you, I'm going to just put you on pause just so we don't have that interruption with your, but I'm going to bring you back on, okay?
Yes.
I'm just going to put you on pause, okay? That way, I you know, it's clear. Okay, so let's continue. He said, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. Because we went to Paul, what was it? We keep going to Paul. Paul says, you know, they're going to come to you. The ones that I'm cutting occasion off so that you can hear the truth. He said they're going to say that they're Abraham's seed. They're going to say they're an Israelite. They're going to say they're a Hebrew. But they can't give you the Spirit because that is what John 8:44, that Yahushua let you know there is no truth in them. The word truth is Spirit. There's no Spirit in them, but they look just like our people. So let's go a little further. Let's go back to Romans 9. He says, verse 7, one more time. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So we know it was Ishmael and Isaac. The seed was called in Isaac. What is the seed? Well, you better understand the parable of the wheat and tare, or what I'm saying to you right now makes no sense. Now I'm going to bring our brother back on, and we're going to go there. I'm going back and forth. Be prepared. Be prepared. Let's go with the parable of the wheat and tare for the clarity and the understanding, family. It's in Matthew 13. I'm going to give everybody the link. I'm going to have our brother read this for us. I want everybody to get this because this is one of the pieces of the puzzle that probably has been misspoken of. We got to get to the truth. There's no time for playing around. This is the Father's Word. How seriously do you take it? Do you want to give another understanding for his Word? I don't think you should be doing that. Let me go ahead and bring our brother on. Okay, let me get him back open here. Okay, Brother Musha.
Shalom.
Okay, I'm glad you're here. Now, Brother Musha, I opened up because, oh, well, hey, we always happy to hear it from a brother.
Yes.
Brother, I opened up Matthew 13. I would like you to read verses 24 through 30. We're getting ready to go into the parable of the wheat and tare because we got to talk about what the seed is. Because when we went to Romans 9, okay, we went to Romans 9 just a little second ago, and what he said was, in Romans 9, and I want to make sure I point it out, he says, for this is the word of promise. Oh, I think I even went too far. Hold up a second. Okay, yeah, verse 7. He said, neither because they are the seed of Abraham. And we know Abraham had, if you go in Abraham's lineage, yes, there was Ishmael and Isaac. There was Jacob and Esau. All of these people can claim Abraham's lineage, but he's going to define it for us. So he says in Romans 9, verse 7, neither because they're the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So we're going to find out what is this seed that the Scripture keeps talking about. And people, yes, many times it's talking about a lineage of people, but you got to take it spiritual because he's letting you know he ain't talking about all the children of the flesh that came out of Abraham. He's talking about the ones of the seed, of the Spirit. So that's what we're going to get that understanding. Brother, go ahead and read Matthew 13. We're going to get the understanding of the parable of the wheat and tare. Can you read verses 24 through 30, please?
Yes. Starting at verse 24, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. Verse 27. So the servant of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? Verse 28, he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? Verse 29, but he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.
All right, brother. Thank you. Now, we're going to go back over it because I want to make sure there's a lot of clarity here. And I'm going, brother, I'll put you back on mute because I don't want to hear any side noise. But I'll bring you back on. Okay, let's go there. Now, he just read Matthew 13, verses 24 to 30, because you got to get the understanding, the spiritual understanding of what the seed is and what is going on with Israel right now. Many people don't understand when they go to Romans 9, and he can say something like in Malachi 1, 2, it wasn't Esau, Jacob's brother. You know, but what does it mean? Let's go there. When we go to Matthew's, and we read it, it says that Yahushua, he was given a parable. The parable and the understanding, children of the flesh still can't get that today. It's obvious. So when we go to try to bring our brother in spiritual, because Yahushua said take off the old man, put on the new man. The old man is the flesh, the new man is the spirit. Operate out the spirit. Here's what you should be getting out of this. Here's that parable which Yahushua told to his disciples and the people who were listening. Another parable put forth Yahushua unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, now the men are considered the Hebrews, while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and he went his way. We're going to find out who this enemy is and what did he sow, what did he plant, okay? It says, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared also the tares. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? Now remember, usually giving you this parable because it's all about our Heavenly Father and his children. But something's right there with his children, and it's not good. But the children, no matter how many times Yahushua let them know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they're sitting in Moses' seat. Oh, the same scribes and Pharisees and so forth. Ye are of your father the devil. Okay? He'll go and let everybody know there's no spirit in them. There's no truth in them. He'll take it right back. Ye are of them who killed the prophets. He'll take it everywhere with you. And these are his words, and nobody's getting it. Nobody's understanding it. He said, yeah, I know you Abraham's seed, but Abraham will rejoice. He rejoiced when my coming was. Now look at you. I know you, Abraham's seed, but where I go, you can't go, which was he was going back up to the Heavenly Father. Hey, the ones, if the word, we did it for predestination, a lesson we did before, born again. That means that you were set from above. You descended into this realm. Yahushua descended. He said, a body has thou made for me so that he can come. The word became flesh. Mary and Joseph prepared a body, a vessel, because our bodies are just vessels. You look up the word image, it says empty vessel. Spirit had to be put into Yahushua. Just like what we're getting ready to read here. This seed that was planted when the Hebrews had sex. But one, the enemy planted inside that vessel. So let's just get a little understanding. He said, so when the servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow, did you plant good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? Where are all these tares coming from? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? You want us to go get them out of there? He says, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Because many, if we read scripture and understand, there were people leading the people of Israel astray. Isaiah said, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. They which lead thee cause thee to err. Who was leading the people? Well, Isaiah was talking about the book of Kings. Who was leading the people? Those were men. Those were men. Read it. I'm not picking on a man, but it was men who did that. The people who always caused the children of Israel to sin, to go a little to the left or a little to the right instead of standing on that straight path, we're just getting an understanding of where they come from. But they were with Israel. Now let's see what else has to be said concerning the parable of the wheat and tare, because Yahushua told you this. I pray you get it. He says, nay, least while ye gather up the tare, ye root up also the wheat with them, because they're right there with the tares. Many of the wheat have been under tares, still under tares, teaching of the flesh. And ever so slightly do they throw Yahushua out, and they replace Yahushua with a man, and say a man is a woman's covering. So cleverly do they block the way of the kingdom for the children to enter and make the children of the kingdom more children of hell than themselves, more devils than themselves, because they tell the men, go take many wives. You are supposed to love your wife, but all the father ever told her was to submit. She wasn't given the spirit. She can't correct you when you are wrong. The father wants all his people to rebuke openly when they hear error, to stand up. That army that we're speaking about when the set apart spirit flows in the dry bones in Ezekiel 33. Stand up, this army of Israel. But what kind of army? What, to have swords and start chopping off heads and take guns and start shooting people? No! You better go back to the full armor of our Father, where it's all spiritual. And the sword is the word. So that when the children of Israel, through the set apart spirit, start rising up, this great army, because they know their Father. They know the truth of the word. The Spirit is flowing. But the devil was so slick that he implanted a seed in a vessel that looked like a Hebrew. That's why you got ravishing wolves in sheep clothing. That's why you have a dragon in Revelation, but it's a lamb that speaks like a dragon. It's right there looking like the Hebrews. That's what Revelations 2:9 and 3:9 is all about. That's what the whole book is letting you know. Stop looking at the world. But he's going to give you understanding. We've got to talk about this parable of the wheat and tare so people can start getting this. So he says, least while you gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the time of the harvest. The harvest in the very end. That's the harvest. That's the harvest in the very end. This is end time. This is prophecy. And this is for your understanding. He says, let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, I'm going to say these to these angels, gather ye together first the tares. This is what the devil planted. This spirit within a vessel that looked like a Hebrew. And bind them in bundles to burn them. They got to go. That's why Yahushua said, where I go, you can't come where I go. That's why he tell you, no flesh and blood. Anybody who has learned the flesh and operating on the flesh, they will not enter into the kingdom. That's where the scribes and the Pharisees, the tares, the foolish prophets, the lying prophets, the serpents, see, that's where they'll keep you in the flesh, by doing flesh, having flesh understanding of the word, and doing a flesh thing that you ought not. Because you're not giving any kind of feast days or anything to our Heavenly Father that these tares are making people do. Their works are evil, because the Father took all that away. But anyhow, going back, them both grow together until the harvest. In the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, I didn't told you what it meant, but we're going to go to the Father's word and let him tell you the same thing I just told you. Now, we're going to go a little further, and I'm going to have our brother, and I'm opening his mic in a second. He's going to continue reading the understanding of that parable. He's going to pick up in Matthew 13. Now he's going to read verses 34, 43. And let me get his mic back open. Okay, brother, can you go ahead and read that for us, please? Is your phone on mute?
Shalom.
Okay, yes. Shalom.
Okay, starting at verses 34.
Yes, to 43.
To 43. All these things Yahushua spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Yahushua sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. Hallelujah.
Okay, thank you, brother. You
going to
read the rest?
Okay. Ending at
41.
44? 41?
41 to 43.
Okay. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear.
All right. Thank you, brother. Now,
you're welcome.
I'm kind of glad I put him back on just because of the extra noise, but I'm kind of glad he read it. He read it in a different translation, and that's good because you get a little bit more understanding. But we're going to go back through the King James Version because I want to connect the dots for you. We're talking about the parable of the wheat and tare. Many people don't understand why is it that Ishmael, well, he was of Abraham's lineage, he got to be a Hebrew. Well, Esau, he got to be a Hebrew too. No, you don't know the parable of the wheat and tare. Now, Yahushua's going to give his understanding. When you go to Matthew 13, verses 34 through 43, it reads, all these things spake Yahushua. He's going to reveal, give the understanding. He says, all these things spake Yahushua unto the multitudes in parables, and without the parable spake he not unto them. The reason why he's speaking parables, just like the reason why we're able to unlock the mysteries, because many of the things in the English are parables, but it's only meant for his children. The scribes and the Pharisees, the serpent seed, the lying prophets, the foolish prophets, they can't get the simplicity in Yahushua because they don't understand the parables. They don't understand the mysteries. They're not operating out the spirit. They can only get what the flesh gives. So allow me to give that understanding as we operate out the spirit. Let's go there. Yahushua spake all these things to the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So from way, way long ago, these are things that have been kept secret. But this generation of dry bones that are waking up, the Father is allowing his people, even when we get to parables and dark sayings and things that are not so easily understood by those in the flesh, we can come through with the truth of the word. This is what it's speaking of. So he says in verse 36, Yahushua sent the multitude away. Everybody else had to go. It was only meant for the understanding for a select few. So he sent everybody else away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. What's all this parable about? We didn't understand it, but could you explain it to us? pretty soon you find out that when they became apostles, they understood. But right here, they're disciples, and they still don't understand. Many of you are disciples, not that you're not the fathers, but that understanding through his prophets will be given to you. Many get it, a lot don't. If you don't get it, I tell you, you better hearken to the Father and ask him to please show you his, give you his understanding, allow the Spirit to flow, repent for all the sinning you've done and being under these tares because you've been in disobedience up until this point. But once you do that, he will give you that understanding if you're his. Let's go there. Here's what he says to them. Yeshua answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, which is Yahushua. He sowed the good children. He's the one. It's his spirit that sowed that from, he said, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. You're the spirit that I put there. So it tells us right here, let's read it for what it says and get the understanding. Yahushua said, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Who is the Son of Man? Well, that would be Yahushua. He said, the field is the world. So out of all the world, we're looking at all these people. Certain people are the fathers. And he tell you, children of the flesh, these are not my children, but children of the spirit are my children. So we understand that he sowed the good seed. The seed is the spirit. He said, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Do you understand wicked one is the same one as devil, dragon, the beast of the field? Oh, let's go a little further. Let's go a little further because this is clear, it's plain, and people have to get the understanding because it does link up to who Esau is. It does link up to who the tares are. Let's go and see what he has to say. He says in verse 39, the enemy, you'll find out who the enemy is because he let you know in John 8:44 that the scribes and the Pharisees, these people on earth that he was speaking to, he said, ye are of your father the devil. So right here, he lets you know in the parable of the wheat and tare that the devil came in and planted a seed. He sowed a seed. What type of seed? A watermelon plant? Some tomatoes? Potatoes? No. It tells us right here. He says, the enemy that sowed or planted the seed, it said, the enemy that sowed them, these seeds, these tares, is the devil. They're his children. They're the synagogue of Satan. They're the synagogue is a vessel because our bodies are vessels. But they are of Satan. They are the children of the devil. So the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Right there, I should say, where do you think Revelations is the revealing? If we could show you the only two approved assemblies were the two, Smyrna and Philadelphia, which taught serpent seed. Because the people aren't aware of what's going on. That's why Satan, if that time wasn't cut short, he deceived the whole world. Even the very elect. So when we get to Revelation and the revealing, who do you think the revealing is about? Because we know the other nations were there just for our chastisement. That's it. Their judgment's already gone. But he's talking about his children. And when we get to that mystery Babylon, it's talking about what kept leading the people astray, making them a harlot. Now you got this mystery Babylon, this mother of harlots. This is the most corruptible and wicked nation of people. Why are they wicked? Well, because they still allow the beast, the image of the beast, who is powered by the serpent, the dragon, the devil. They still allow that to rule them, to teach them. When his people come forward and try to show the people the truth, they rebuke the one the Father sent. They have a book to read. Why won't they read it? Why will they honor the Father's created more than the Creator? When the word is clear, if someone is giving you flesh, that's not a child of the Most High. But if someone is giving you spiritual understanding to the Word, these are children of the Most High. So we go back and we read. It tells us in the end, through Revelations, we're talking about the children of the Most High, the terrorists. This is in time. They're going to be put in that lake of fire. We know no more flood going to overtake anything. It's going to be burnt up with fire. So this is the very end. It says, and therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world, or this age of this world. The Son of Man, okay, this is the Yahushua, shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. This is Revelations. And them that do iniquity, them that sin, them that allow the spirit of the devil to rule in their life. These who listen to the clouds without water, as the book of Jude says, the tares, the devil's children, the synagogue of Satan, the scribes and the Pharisees who were sitting in Moses' seat, causing the children of Israel to say, crucify Yahushua. It says, then shall the righteous shine. Once we get rid of the ones who do iniquity, he's going to cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then, after all that's done, when he gets rid of the tares and all those who choose to follow a man, which is the mark of a beast, the number of the beast, 666, is the image of a man, of a beast, that is motivated and ruled by Satan, the devil. This spirit, they have a different spirit. Their spirit is not our spirit. Okay? Our spirit comes from above. But there's Hebrew vessels looking just like us, but their spirit, it didn't come from our Heavenly Father. It came from beneath. Remember, there's three layers of heaven. Three layers of heaven. The top level is the Father. The angels, the spirits of the wind, the devil, they reside in the lower heavens. That's why they make people see UFOs and all kind of crazy things. The Father has plans and uses for them. Remember in the book of Job? He said, hey, have at my faithful servant Job, because Satan was going to and fro in the earth, looking for spirits to devour. He's still looking for those same spirits, the ones who will not hearken to the command of our Father when we can read it, who will not listen when he says, take up the old man, put on the new man. Come spiritually to my word. Let's go forward. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, if you can understand the parable, if you can take it spiritually, if your ears to hear, when I speak, you should hear Yahushua. You should get that spiritual understanding. This is the understanding. We're going to go back to Romans 9 now. Let's put it all together. Let's put it all together. Because you see, there's parts of the scriptures, many people don't understand this stuff, but it's right there. Back to Romans 9. Remember, Paul had to tell the people, I lie not, because they only understood of the flesh. Spiritual understanding, they were spiritually discerned. They didn't get it. Let's go here. Paul says in Romans 9, let's go to verse 6, neither as though the word of Yahuwah hath taken non-effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they called children, but in Isaac shall thy seed or the spirit be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of our Father. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed, for the spirit. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. We know that even if you can't understand Hagar and Sarai with Abraham, because one was a Gentile, but a lost sheep, that was Hagar. The other was the seed, the promised seed child, that was Sarah. Sarah's son was through the father Abraham. That was the lineage where the seed that the father knew would be put into that vessel. That was Isaac. But as far as Hagar and Abraham, no. The seed that was placed in that vessel was of the devil. y'all got that. We're talking about spiritual things. The vessels are nothing but our flesh. But the Father's talking about the spirit that's placed within these vessels. They could come from a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman. They have a 50-50 chance of being Hebrew. Whether it be a man with a goyim or whatever, that child has a 50-50 chance. Whether it's a woman by one of the goyim, that child has a 50-50 chance. We're not talking about the flesh. We're talking about the spirit. But Paul lets you know he's talking about also the flesh. These are the lineage of people that were given the promises that Yahushua did bring out of Egypt, the ones that he will regather, his people. But within his people, through the birth lines of these Hebrews, you got one child is a Gentile, one child is a Hebrew. What makes you a Hebrew? What makes you called and chosen? Well, your spirit. Where did it come from? That's all this is about. Let's read what he says. Read Romans 9. He says in verse 8, that is, let me read verse 7 one more time. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. This is where I'm calling that spirit, in Isaac, this vessel. That is, they which are children of the flesh, both of them were children of the flesh. Let's divide it up now a little bit. Both of those, both Isaac and Ishmael, through the flesh, yeah, both of them had flesh on. Both of them came by way of Abraham, or excuse me, Isaac and his wife. Both of them did. Two Hebrews produced two children. But he going to let you know I'm going to separate it because I ain't talking about the flesh. That is, they which are children of the flesh, these are not children of our Father. Don't look at the flesh. Because the Father even told us when John the Baptist was speaking, he said, Yahushua couldn't raise, when the scribes and Pharisees, John the Baptist said, don't even think to say Abraham is your father. Because Yahushua was able to raise children from these stones. He's letting you know it's not about the external. It's about the internal. The stone is just an image. It's a vessel. It has nothing in it. But when the Father places his spirit into a vessel, that makes it the Father's children. So when we go here, he's letting you know, they which are children of the flesh, both Isaac as well as Ishmael, both of them were of the flesh, came by Hebrew parents, a father, and actually both were Hebrew. I haven't gotten into that lesson yet, but Hagar was a Hebrew too. She was of the lost sheep. You can read it and understand it. That's for another day. But he's letting you know these children, which just are in flesh bodies, these are not children of the Most High. It takes something else to be considered a child of the Most High or a son of the Most High, which are children. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. The seed spoken is the spirit. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. Rebekah had two children. Only one was chosen. One was, the spirit was put into that vessel. That's from Rebekah and Isaac. It was Jacob, not Esau. She says, for the children be not yet born. It didn't matter that they did anything because everything was written before the foundation of the earth. Now we're seeing the Father's plan go into action because he has to get his unrighteous children who refuse to listen, he has to give them the opportunity to be obedient. So he says right here in verse 11, children being not yet born, didn't matter what they did, neither having done any good or evil. It wasn't about what they did. That the purpose, the plan of our Father, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved. This was where the seed, the spirit that came from our Father. There you go, Jacob. But Esau have I hated. Why did he hate Esau? Because while the Hebrews slept, the enemy came in, planted a seed. The seed was the spirit of the devil, right in Esau. And then he went his way. He said, let the children grow together. So now we're in the end time. We got the Edomites. We got the Hebrew Israelites. We got the tares that look just like Hebrews. Esau, it told you he was from a different nation and what he looked like. He was red and hairy all over like a garment. We read it. He says, as is written in verse 13, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with our father? Yahuwah forbid. This takes you right back, family, to Malachi 1, verse 2. I'm going to read it again. The children of Israel were asking, pay attention, in Malachi 1, verse 2, Yahushua says, I have loved you. They say, the children of Israel say, wherein hast thou loved us? Yahushua says, was not Esau Jacob's brother? But I loved Jacob. And I hated Esau. Now let's go back to Romans 9. The same thing is going to be asked here. We read all of, basically it's the parable of the wheat and tare, letting you know what happened within these Hebrews. How they had children. One was called, one wasn't. Ishmaelites never called. The Edomites, no, they're not called either. Cain's lineage, no. Not really, no. Cain didn't look like Esau did, but Cain was still not a child of our fathers because the lineage from Adam all the way to Yahushua is given in Matthew and Luke, and it does not include Esau. As a matter of fact, before the lineage in chapter 5 of Genesis was given, you go back to Genesis chapter 4, he had his lineage starting already. But I've discussed that. I don't want to go to that. I want to stick with this. So the children of Israel, once again, they ask the same question. They always question the father. Because they don't understand the Father's purpose. They aren't spiritual, but we're going to get you spiritual so you can understand the Father's purpose. He says in verse 13 of Romans 9, as it is written, everything that you need to get, the Father says, I've foretold you everything. Don't look into the world for revelations. Don't bring the world into his word, because it wasn't talking about the world. Yahushua said, I came, and he accomplished, and he said it was finished. That was the law and the prophets. So you best look back to the word. What did the prophet say? He says like this, for it's written, Jacob have I loved. That was written in the Torah. That was in Genesis. But Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with our father? You will forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. When the children of Israel exited Egypt, certain of them wanted to go ahead and get the calf going and all that. No, he had to get rid of those. Other ones of them, he was going to get rid of all of the children of Israel, but he had compassion on the other ones. He's not going to destroy the righteous with the unrighteous. Let's go a little further. It says, verse 15 of Romans 9, for he said unto Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of our Father that showeth mercy. Many people want to question the word, but the word is clear. You can't make other people come into the covenant. You can't change the fact that there's a serpent seed. You better test the spirit because that's what our father told us to do. He told you our bodies were vessels, but he don't judge the body. He's not a respecter of persons of the flesh. He is dealing with the spirit. The spirits will be judged. That's how he's able in the parable of the wheat and tare, when the angels look, they're not looking at the flesh, they're looking at the spirit. That's why they're able to, oh, that's a tear, puck out, puck. Tears look different in the spirit than the children of the Most High. But in the flesh, we all look the same. He says that he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and have compassion on whom he will have compassion. So then it's not of him. You can't will nothing. You can't run nothing. But it's our Father that showeth mercy. Verse 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, hath he had mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. And if y'all don't get that, while we're in the land of our enemy, the Father will either show you grace, which is favor, and mercy, or he will continue your chastisement. Once you wake up to the truth and you turn, you compass a woman compassing a man means you turn back to Yahushua, then he will show you favor in the land because you know you only got to cry out to him. You can't cry out to no man, no woman. They can't do nothing for you. You got to cry out to Yahushua. That's the mediator. He says, return to me. You see? So let's read what it says here. The Father lets us know in his word. He says, I'm going to pick up at verse 18. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou wilt then say unto me, why doth he find fault? Why does he still find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Because they're all doing what they're supposed to do. Because he can harden a heart, soften a heart. You know, the Father can make this whole nation come against us or keep that nation away. He says, the Father says, I create evil and I create good. In the book of Job, he says, who is understanding my word, my wisdom? You can't tell me. You can't fathom what I am doing. But the children of Israel always question. The word is not up for personal interpretation. If the Father's not speaking to you, well, you need to shut up. Seriously. If the Father is not speaking to you, like the word says, let the woman learn in silence and ask her husband at home. That means let the woman, which is Israel, keep silent. Don't try to preach the word. Ask Yahushua, go into your secret closet, ask your husband, have him reveal to you before you start opening your mouth. So we go and we continue reading. The Father lets us know so clear in his word. Verse 19, he says, thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against Yahushua? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? You going to question me? Hath not the potter power over the clay? Of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. Yahushua, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endureth with much long suffering the vessel of wrath that's fitted for destruction. There are vessels right now created that are fitted for destruction, but when the Father comes and tells you, I love this one and I hate that one, he lets you know, ye of your father the devil, he ain't playing around with his words. You just don't understand his plan. He's made certain vessels on this earth, they will not change. This is how he made them. Because it's all about his children. His children are supposed to be in obedience. Follow those two commandments in the new covenant. Love him. Praise and worship him only. And then have brotherly love for your sisters and your brothers. That's what he wants you to do. So if he tells you and gives you a commandment, do it. Yahushua said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Okay? So we got to really love the Father and do what he says do. But many people hearken to the serpent that keep throwing flesh at them. And they think they're doing right. That's why in the end time, many going to come and say, and they really believe they've done right. They're going to say, but haven't we done this in your name? He's going to say, get away from me. I never knew you. I gave you my word. I told you, study to show yourself approved. Rightly dividing the word. Seek me. Seek me for that understanding. I'll give it to you. But you allow a flesh man to tell you, after you came out of Christianity and knew this truth, that the Spirit is given both to the men and the women. But you allow a flesh man to overshadow you. Flesh can't save you. Only by the Father's power and Spirit, through the Son, we are saved. But you had the choice to read the word for yourself and seek the Father. You chose not. So get away from me. I never knew you. And for those who are lukewarm to this truth and want to sit lukewarm, Yahushua says in the book of Revelations, I wish that you were either hot or cold. Take a side. But because you're just going to sit there, I'm going to spew you out my mouth. Because when you hear the truth come up, you don't speak up for the truth. You're not part of that army. You don't have your full armor on. You haven't. You're just sitting there. You're worthless. If you don't speak up and stand up for Yahushua's truth, you're worthless. You're lukewarm. You don't, oh, I don't want to get these people mad at me, but I know this one over here telling the Father's word is true. You stand up for that truth if I'm speaking our Father's word. Let's go further. It says, what if our Father, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessel of wrath fitted for destruction? They're going to be here till the very end, family. Remember the parable of the wheat and tares? Let them grow together. Cain went out into the world to get him a wife. So Cain has the same spirit as the world. And these are not children of the Most High. The called, the chosen, these are the children of the Most High. Because many of the people who are called, they will go under a serpent, a flesh teacher, and they will keep in their wicked state. They refuse to hearken and hear the Father. So broad is that way for destruction. Many going to find that. But narrow is that way, that straight path that he wants you to be on, that spiritual path where there's life, where there's spirit, where there's truth. Many will not find that path, but you have a choice. You have the choice right now. If you're under the sound of my voice, you hear me reading the word, you know what the scriptures say, but what you going to do? What you going to do? He says in verse 22 of Romans 9, what if Yahuwah, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endureth with much long suffering the vessel of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory, which is his wisdom and his knowledge, his word, on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, his children, the spiritual ones, whom he hath called, not only of the southern kingdom, but also the Gentiles, but also the lost sheep. I want to take you guys somewhere. Keep in mind verse 24, speaking of the Gentiles. Many people don't get the Gentiles. We're going to hit the Gentiles. But let me first, I want to see if our brother has anything to add at this point. We have about 35 minutes left, and I want to get some more in there. But, brother, I'm going to open up your mic. Let's see if I can get it open. Okay, brother Musha.
Yes,
brother Musha. Uh-oh. Brother Musha? Uh-oh. Brother, if you're speaking, I can't hear you. Are you there?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Brother Musha.
Hello?
Okay.
Sis?
Yes.
Hello?
Can you hear me? Brother Musha.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, shalom.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you need to put yourself in a private room, separate yourself for a while, okay, so you can hear.
Yes.
Okay. I need you, at this point, I asked, did you want to add anything?
Yes. Yes, sister.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, well, now you have a little time. I'm going to take a quick break. That'll give me time to get some stuff done.
Yeah.
What to add. Okay?
Yeah, okay, all right. Thank you so much. And Sister Iron Georgia, do you know you are a queen?
Well, I know, I'm one of the kings and priests, according to the word. We all are.
Yeah, you're a queen. Yeah.
I don't like that word queen. I don't like that word.
You don't
queen.
Like queen? Queen is, you
no.
don't like the queen for the woman?
No, because the Egyptians mess with that too much. I'm just one of the children of the Most High, but thank you, brother.
Go ahead. Can I explain something to you, my sister? Will you hear me for a second?
I will hear you. Yes, I will.
All right. I want you to know the term king and queen are the same terms, but queen fits the woman and king fits for the man. Now, let me break down what I'm saying. Even when Yahushua referred to the ruler in Ethiopia coming to King Solomon, he said, the queen of the south. This was some form of a ruler. And the reason why I refer to you as a queen, not only because you're a woman, but you're a ruler in righteousness. You see what I mean? So don't...
Yeah, but when you say king and queen, that still goes back to a lot of Egyptology and things, because we're not dealing with the flesh, we're spirits. So, brother,
do me
a favor, though. Let's just drop that, and let's go on to what you want to bring forth, okay?
Yeah.
I want to get this going here.
Okay, yes, you are a daughter of the Most High, and the Most High revealed to me that you come from, your lineage comes directly from a king in Scripture. Now, I'm not sure which king, but your bloodline descends directly from a king. That's what the Most High revealed to me as you were speaking.
Well, that's Judah. So, yeah, I am of Judah. But I thank you, brother. Now, I need you to get to those Scriptures because I got more to go
over. Okay. All right, how much time we got? We got about an hour?
No, we got less than that. And I still got Scripture to go over. So,
all right, let me go and get these scriptures. I just want to, is that all right if I just encourage the body?
Yes, please.
Okay. Thank you so much, my sister. I sure will.
Thank you,
get these scriptures now. I enjoy you every time I listen to you. The Most High is with you.
And he's with you as well.
Thank you. Thank you, my sister.
Do you need time to gather your scriptures, or do you not have them?
Yes, well, I need time, and then I'm coming to find out that my mom locked herself out, so we're both locked out of the house now.
Oh, mm-mm-mm. I tell you what, then, since you're not ready with it, I'm going to put you back on park and continue, okay? And then I'll bring you back up. Maybe you'll have it by then, okay?
Okay, thank you so much, sister.
All right, brother.
I love
thank
you.
Love you, too.
Sure.
I'm going to put Brother Musha back on park. At this time, though, I will open the floor to any listener wanting to make any comments thus far before I go into the other scriptures. So anybody else wants to raise their hand and make a comment at this time, I'm looking at the switchboard right now. I will take those questions. I like to be fair because I know that maybe it's the way I say it, you don't get it. But we'll go deeper if you need me to go deeper, because this is what the children of Israel, we're supposed to understand this truth. This base, this is simplicity in Yahushua. We just stick to his word. Okay, I'm going to continue going because I don't see any hands up. So what I want to do at this point, family, I want to take everybody to the understanding that we just received was, and I was in Romans 9, okay? In Romans 9, that's where I was reading from. And I went to the part that spoke about the Gentiles, which was verse 24. Because Paul was saying, I'm going to read verse 23 and 24 to get the fullness of it. He says, and that he might make known the riches of his glory unto the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he had called, not only of the southern kingdom, but also, and really I don't even like to say southern kingdom when you really look at what he's saying, because Paul was of the southern kingdom. But he said, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews is the word they put there, but not of the Hebrews only, but also the Gentiles, the lost sheep. So it says, What I'm going to try to point out to you, because that is what screws people up, especially when you go to the New Covenant, and now they have said, okay, well, Paul spoke many languages, so we're going to put this in Greek. That was just a language Paul spoke. But the truth is, they switched to bring in a lie by telling you the word Jews, and now you go in Israel, and these are the Jews. They threw the word Gentiles, but many times we were called Gentiles. The Goyim is also called Gentiles. But we're talking about the lost sheep of the house of Israel who knew not the understanding of the Father. They were Israelites, but they were scattered, and that's who Yahushua, as well as Paul, went out for. But can we bring this current? Yes, we can bring it current with understanding. Paul said, also the Gentiles, these vessels, they were prepared for glory. So let's look at Gentiles, that word Gentiles, in Romans 9, verse 24. If we go to Ephesians 2, you're going to hear about how we were Gentiles in the past, in times past. You're going to get the understanding, because many don't understand. When you talk about Gentiles in the scripture, you can bet 9 times out of 10 it is pertaining to a Hebrew, a lost sheep. So I want to take everybody to Ephesians chapter 2. Open up your Bibles, please. I'm going to begin at verse 1. The book of Ephesians. And you hath he quickened. Yahushua is quickened. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world. You were children of the devil. We just read that in the parable of the wheat and tares. And the word Gentile, that's why, and yeah, I'm going to play this clip for you guys, because it goes into, the word Gentiles means devils. So before I go any further in Ephesians 2, verse 2, let me just play this audio clip for those who may not have ever heard this before, because we've played it in the past where this woman looked up the words, and here's what she came up with. It's only a minute long. Pay attention.
I've mentioned in one of my other videos, too, about the word demon and where it comes from, and I showed you from the Aramaic lexicon, the Hebrew lexicon, that the word demon is not English, but it comes from the Aramaic, borrowed from those languages. And it means Gentiles, specifically children of the angels. This is what the indigenous humans, the descendants of Adam, referred to them as, demons. It's spelled various ways. The current way of spelling it is D-E-M-O-N. It is also spelled D-E-A-M-A-N and many other ways. They do things esoterically. Of course, they lie to you, give you one definition for a word when it means something else completely different, which makes what they're telling you null and void, a lie. And if you consider the book, let's see, Angels and Demons, if you don't know that the Aramaic and Hebrew word demon means Gentiles, and that another Aramaic word for Gentiles is women, then you won't realize that the title Angels and Demon is actually referring to angels and Gentiles, or angels and their children.
All right. So we get the understanding. When you go and look at these words, they switch things up in the New Covenant, but you got to look up the words, because they mean more than what you think. Yahushua was using the word, calling them devils. Many of them were being led by a spirit that was not of his spirit, and they were our people. So if you are a devil and you're under the mark of the beast, you got the mark on you because you're not following the Father's way, you're a child of the devil. But are you really one of his? No, you've been led astray. That's what Ezekiel 13 speaks of. He gonna grab those people back. But while they're doing the works of the devil, they're given obedience and they're following the doctrines of devils. Yahushua told the scribes and the Pharisees, ye are of Cain's lineage. That's what he told you. Your father's the devil. That spirit that's in you, it's not a good spirit. There's no truth in you. There's no spirit in you. You got a different spirit, as Paul would say. So we get to understand when you're talking about the Gentiles, we're saying devils, because that's what the scripture is talking about. When they know not the Father, they call them Gentiles. But which Gentiles, the Goyim or the Israelites? This was all about the Israelites. No, the Israelites were thought of as devils, the Gentiles, because they knew not the Father. Now, Let's go back to get an understanding about the Gentiles. I'm going to take everybody to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, I'm going to read this. Just remember what Paul is speaking of. He's talking about the Gentiles. He says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world." This is Satan's world right now. "According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Why are they disobedient? Because they rather follow a man. They rather go under the beast, who is directed by the devil, the spirit of Satan, instead of obeying what the Father says to do. He said, get away from them works. That's why they got a mark in their right hand and in their forehead. The children of the Most High of the Spirit, everything they understand is spiritual. They ain't got to do nothing. There's not going to be a mark in their hand, but they do have the seal of our Father in the same place, children who have the mark of the beast. So Gentiles just simply mean devils. Just that's all. I'm not calling nobody something that's not in the Scripture. If you are not coming to the Word spiritually, your father is the devil. You're doing the works of your father. You're following the doctrine of devils, the traditions of men. You're operating out the flesh. He says, "Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath." Remember, we just read in Romans 9, these vessels fitted for destruction, even as others. The others is everybody else out there in the world, because Satan is ruling that world. We are in the midst of devils, ravishing wolves, sheep, or wolves in sheep clothing. We have hearkened to a lie, and our Father says, come out from among her, my people. Come out of the confusion, the babble of the world. They're following Satan. Don't listen to that nonsense. Come spiritually to me. Understand my dark sayings, my parables. Come to the spiritual understanding. Take up the old man, put on the new man. We read in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. By nature, the children of wrath, even as others. But Yahushua, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Remember, he said, I love Jacob, but Esau have I hated. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Yahushua. How? Well, by grace ye are saved. Not by man, not by the flesh, but by grace through Yahushua. And hath raised us up together, both the children of the Most High, the Hebrews, and the lost sheep. I can go and say the southern kingdom, Judah, and Israel, the northern kingdom, who, it says, Ephraim, leave them to their idols. They were in the course of this world. That would be Israel, the northern kingdom. So let's get back. It says he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Yahushua. Now remember the parable of the wheat and tares. He said, let them all grow together because the tares are right with his people. If you are going to keep in the flesh, allow a person to come and teach you of the flesh, you are still walking according to the courses of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You're being disobedient to our Father. You go keep those feast days if that's what you want to do, because your father is the devil. You go ahead and plant crops and do all these things because you're scared with fear when the Father didn't give you the spirit of fear, but you say, I got to do this because you're forgetting. Yahushua said, wait on me. Don't turn my spiritual right arm that can save you into an arm of flesh. But you don't want to listen to Yahushua. You got to do something. Go read Ezekiel 13 and get it. All right, so he says, they're going to right there with us. That's why in Revelations he talks about the synagogue of Satan in Revelations 2:9 and 3:9. But it's always talked about throughout the whole scripture. This is just the revealing in Revelations. What's going to happen at the very end? The parable of the wheat and tare tell you what is he judging at the end? Who's with us? Many children of disobedience, they follow that spirit that are in the certain men that crept in unaware, that lead Israel astray. Isaiah said it. Jeremiah told you about it. John the Baptist spoke of it. Paul speaks about it. It's spoken throughout the entire scripture. It's spoken in Genesis 3:15. So he says, let's go. He says, verse 6 again, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Yahushua, that in the ages to come, which is the new world age we're waiting for, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Yahushua. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That's why he said, well, I find faith. But the children who should be operating out the spirit and having faith, they're operating out the flesh with fear. He said, well, I find faith when I return. So it tells us right here. It says, verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, because it is a gift of Yahushua. You ain't got to do nothing. He's giving you a free gift, the Passover, because he was that one-time Passover lamb. That was a free gift. He gave you the spirit that teaches, comforts. That's your mediator coming to you. Now it's dwelling within you, within the kingdom. Everything's in us. Call out to the Father. You ain't call out to no flesh, no man, no woman. So he says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Lest anybody in the flesh is going to boast because he doing something that look righteous. Remember, Satan can transform himself into an angel of light, and that's what his ministers do. And they come to you as sheep or ravishing wolves in sheep clothing. But you got to know what's out there. So this is a spiritual walk. I hope you have the spiritual understanding about the parable of the wheat and tare. I hope you understand that he ain't worried about Esau. He ain't worried about the Moabites. He ain't worried about the Philistines. He ain't worried about nobody but his children. But you're warned. So it says, for we are of his workmanship, created in Yahushua unto good works, which Yahuwah hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This is all old covenant. There's nothing new. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. That's why he tells you, take off the flesh. Take off the old man. Put on the new man, the spirit. The seed of the man. Well, we're talking spirit. We're talking Yahushua. We're not talking a physical seed of a sperm. Don't let nobody deceive you, family. He says in verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in past times Gentiles, devils in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands. The children who were obedient and were keeping the law and circumcising the flesh of the newborn boys, they were called those who did not keep the Torah. They would call them Gentiles or devils because they walked in the course of the world and they were led by Satan. So it says that if you were without Yahushua, without the Spirit, without the Word, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without Yahushua in the world. But now in Yahushua, ye who were sometimes were far off, you were scattered, are made nigh by the blood of Yahushua. For he is our peace. He's our shalom, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. The partition is, you can't say, oh, you a Gentile, you a stranger, you a sojourner. No. He told you in Old Covenant when our people come back in and they start following the laws that were put, and they were put there for those people. He said the law wasn't made for the righteous, but the unrighteous. So when he bought the ones who were known as devils or Gentiles or strangers or sojourners, he bought them in, and they continued with the Hebrews, with the chosen, and they took up ways of our Father, and they were obedient, then they were as one homeborn. That's all this is saying, family. Same thing, Old Covenant, New Covenant. Hey, Yeshua said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It's written of me. You can find that also in the book of Psalms. I want to say 117. I'm not sure. But it's written in the New Covenant as well. There's nothing really new. It's just that many people believe, oh, the New Covenant was, see, that was Greek and what. You can't even link up the Old Covenant to the New Covenant with some of the names that are written in the lineage of Yahushua, like Boaz. You go to the New Covenant, it's Bozy, but you go look it up, it won't tell you that that's the Boaz of Old Covenant. It won't tell you that Ruth, that they call a Moabitess, but she was a Reubenite. It won't say that Bathsheba, which was Uriah's wife, they call them Hittites. Those were Hebrews, because they're in Yahushua's lineage. Our people were scattered. This is our history book. So it says, verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain. You got the northern and southern kingdom. You got Hebrews and the Gentiles. You got the children of the Most High, and you got those who are operating as devils, but they're the Most High's children. He said, for to make in himself of twain, two of them, one new man, a spirit, so making peace. The new man is a spirit. Take off the old man. The old man is the flesh. The new man, what is the new man? Well, that's a spirit. So you're making two sets of flesh into one spirit man. So making peace by doing this. And that he might reconcile both unto Yahuwah in one body, by whereby we know he was hung on a tree, having slain the enmity thereby. That's the enmity you can read in Genesis 3:15 as well. It says, to you which were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one spirit unto Yahuwah. What spirit do we have? Well, the mediator, the one that through his death, burial, and resurrection, sitting at the right hand of the Father, was the Word in the beginning and dwelt with Yahuwah, that manifested in the flesh, dwelt among his people, but now upon his death, burial, and resurrection, sits at the right hand of the Father, and the Comforter, the Spirit, comes to us now. So we're reading the Father's Word. Now everybody who's a Hebrew, who's really a chosen one, they have access by that Spirit unto our Father Yahuwah. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the house of our Father. You're as one homeborn. That's all verse 19 is saying. It says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. You better go back to them if you want to get the word. The Father said, I foretold you everything. You must go back to what the apostles, who were just restating what the prophets said. But they were all speaking to Yahushua. It says, Yahushua himself being the chief cornerstone. He said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It's written of me. Ain't nothing new here. In whom all the building fittedly framed together groweth unto a set apart temple in Yahushua, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of Yahuwah through the Spirit. Okay, so let me see what the time is. I pray everybody is getting this. I think I made it very clear. I don't think I've said anything worth stuttering about or whatever. You see, family, the Father knew the spirit of Jacob before the spirit of Jacob was formed in a vessel, which was in his mother's womb. And that vessel was prepared by sex between the parents. But the Father already known them. That's why everything was said from the foundation of the world. He already knew. He knew his. Esau hadn't done anything. Neither of the children had done anything. But he already told you, I hate Esau. Because that spirit, he already knew where that spirit was going to come from that was in Esau. But he knew his spirit that he was going to place in Rebekah's womb that would be called Jacob, which would be the father of the Israelites, which would bring forth through one of the tribes, which was the tribe of Judah, the only begotten of the father, which was, is, Yahushua. So I was going to go and go a little further. That's all I got to say, family. I'm not going to go, but I'll have it in my notes. Not much more, but I'm not going to go through all that. But you got to know. See, a lot of people, the mistake they make, and really the biggest mistake that our people who come into the truth make when they sit under scribes and Pharisees, teachers of the flesh, lying prophets, serpents, whatever you want to call them, people want to give their personal interpretation. Well, the serpent seed is doing a good job of that. If you listen to the last few lessons, I'll let you listen to what they do. They open the same book we open, but they pervert that word. So now people, the spirit is warring against, you know, the flesh. And they can understand it better in the flesh because that's all we knew was the flesh. We lived so many years in our flesh. Now we're coming into the truth, and we have to come as children. We have to take off the old man, the flesh, and put on the new man, the spirit, and start reading and understanding the Father's word in the spirit. Because the children of the flesh will be drawn to those who crept in unawares to lead the children of Israel astray and block the way of the kingdom for them to enter, making the children of Israel more children of hell or devils than themselves. It's very simple. You must operate out the spirit. You want to get revelations? Stick with the prophets, what they had to say, because revelation, that's just a revealing of what they've already told you. And Yahushua said he came to fulfill it. He said he accomplished it. Upon his death, he said, just before he died, he said, it's finished. So don't let anybody take you to what's happening in the world. That won't give you revelations. You're still operating in the flesh. If you want to know the truth of what our fathers say, you better seek our Father, come spiritually, and then get under one of the teachers, the prophets. That's what it means, prophet, teacher, same thing, that he chose you to learn from. And if you don't understand it, after we've spoken about it, you seek the Father again. Ask the Father, Father, lead me to where you want me to go to learn your truth. Father, unblock my eyes so I can get to this truth. Because you're really one of the fathers, but it probably wasn't your dispensation, the time of dispensation for you to wake up. But if you are truly seeking the Father, you're going to fight to get to that truth. You don't let the devil win. We war against the flesh every day. Anything of the flesh is of the devil. Anything that keeps you in the flesh is wicked. It corrupts. When Yahushua come by the power, he's going to come with fire. You don't want to be as if ashamed, because in a twinkle of an eye, his children will have their spiritual bodies ready, their wedding garments. But the children of the flesh, they'll be as if ashamed. They'll be naked. You must get into the spirit. No easy way to say that. So I'm going to leave it right there, and I pray that has been a blessing for anyone who has wanted to learn a little bit more. We did good. We have about 5 minutes left. I see no hands up. I'm closing up the lesson. But just remember, family, you know, we study to show ourselves approved. Rightly divide that word. Don't let nobody tell you what one verse says, one little precept, and connect it for you where you don't even know. You better know the word. Because if you don't know the word, the devil, his children, will babble in confusion, and you'll believe it. They'll give you fear. They'll make you do things that are unrighteous to save yourself. And the truth is, it's only our Father can save. Go to Acts 4, verse 12. Get the understanding. There's only one mediator. That's Yahushua. Don't let them change our Father's incorruptible image into that image of a man, or shall I say the image of a beast that is led by Satan, the devil, that spirit. It's important you get this. Anyhow, I'm done. That's all I had to say. So with that said, if nobody said, oh, we got a hand up, just in time because I was going to cut it off, we have about 3 minutes, about 4 minutes left. Anyone wishing to ask a question, the number is 646-595-4111. I'm going to take the first caller. Shalom, area code 209.
Yes, Shalom, Georgia. How are you today?
Hey, how are you? Who am I speaking to?
Hey, I'm fine. This is Tava Kumi. I didn't have any questions or comments. I just wanted to just let you know it's always a pleasure to listen to you, you know, on the radio.
So
and you always got wonderful information to share, and I appreciate you so much. So continue what you do, and I'll talk to you later about that incident that you had with an individual that had called you a witch. Now,
oh, okay, sister.
I looked up the word witch,
uh-huh,
you know, to see exactly what it meant, and it has nothing to do with you. So disregard that. Don't let that get you down or discourage you in what you're doing. We all love you, and just have a wonderful day.
Well, thank you, my sister. I thank you. And you have a blessed day, too.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right, sister. Thank you, and continue joining us. Thank you, thank you. I'll put you back on park, okay? Oh, she was dropped. Well, they dropped her. Okay, I'm going to open up another mic. We have another hand up. Let me get the mics open. Area code 340, Shalom.
Shalom, Georgia. It's Sister Tanya.
Oh, my sister, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm listening to your show today, and when you mentioned about Esau and you know how the father hated Esau, I know for many of us it is very clear, but for many, you know, not so much Hebrews, but those who are not Hebrew or those who don't know they are in the churches, you know, some of the churches talk about Esau and how he stole Jacob stole Esau's, and Jacob is a thief. And, you know, there's a reason why the father did not give it to Esau. That spirit that he knows that is in Esau. Ishmael, the same thing. Esau was of the flesh, Ishmael of the flesh, and you know, it continues to go on today, because if you look at the position of our people, we are obviously the children of Jacob, of Yasharal, and the younger, and the older is in, you know, has the riches today, which is only temporary, because the father's going to turn it all around. And I think that some people struggle because they say the father, because he said he hates. You know, he loves us, period. He, and I don't know, I guess that all of this, some people need to come to terms to, but obviously we know that the father gives us the understanding. He just hates him. That's it. There's no explanation and you know, about that. You know, he's already established it. He's already spoken his word. His word is written. So I found it interesting. It was a very good show, by the way. I enjoyed it.
Well, sister, I'm glad that you were able to make it. I know you haven't been in the best of health. The family, we need to continue to pray for our sister and just keep her in our prayers, her health, you know. And I've been praying for you, sister, and I'm so glad that you were able to make it out to the lesson today. And I will keep you in my prayers. Okay, I'm going to be keeping you in my prayers, and I hope that you can make it out to, you know, we have some more lessons. But I know right now you're not in the best of physical shape right now. But that's all right, because we're going to keep you in the prayer, and the Father's word is true. So anything else you want to add, sister?
No, that's what I wanted to say. Like I said, I think people get caught up in the word hate, and they look at the Most High. They look at Yahuwah, and how can he hate anybody? But he said it.
Yeah.
Exactly. We can't say anything. That's why, you know, whatever spirit is in Esau, he knows the spirit is evil and wicked, and he hated him, and he did not give him the promise. He gave Jacob the promise, and his children, his generations, you know, that's why Esau has, for so many thousands of years, along with the other nations, have been trying to tear us down and bombard us with problems and laws and rules and regulations that are against the Most High, so we can be worn out, you know, so we can be in trouble in their eye. They forgot. They're trying to take our body, but they sure can't take the Ruach.
Well, the whole thing is, too, when Esau makes the claim that we stole something from him, you can't steal the spirit. You can steal things of the flesh, but you can't steal the spirit. The promises to the people were made by the spirit, because that was Yahushua, the word in the beginning. He is spirit. So they look at it, if you look at it in a flesh way, you're going to say, well, Esau, we know in the old covenant, the Torah, that the blessings always went to the firstborn son. So with that, they'll say of the flesh, well, yeah, he stole it, but in the spirit, he didn't steal nothing. It was never meant for him. That's why when Rebecca spoke to Yahushua, he let her know, this is the one that's called. She knew. Isaac didn't know, but Rebecca knew. That's why she had Jacob disguise himself as Esau. So we're talking spiritual things here. And when we come to the spirit, all this stuff becomes clear. Things that we can't understand in the flesh, through the spirit, we get the understanding.
So yeah, that's right. And
right
if the family reads, if the family reads Jubilees, the book of Jubilees, it specifically tells you that even Abraham knew that that birthright was supposed to be given to Jacob. And he spoke to Rebekah. So the family needs to go into Book of Jubilees and read that also. This was not by coincidence at all. The Father ordained it from before the foundation of the world was laid that Jacob is getting that birthright, period.
Well, that's what Romans 9 says, because it's by the seed that they're called, because by the spirit that they're called. They're not called because of the flesh. If that's the case, the whole world would be the Father's, but that's not what he's talking about. When people put it to the flesh and they keep talking about the seed of man, the seed of man, the seed of man, the sperm, the Father ain't dealing with no nasty sperm. He's dealing with the righteous spirit. Anything of the flesh is wickedness. Or even our skin is counted as unrighteous, as filthy rags. Our righteousness, because we're in the flesh. That's why you can't judge a man, not this man or that man, because when you judge a man, you're judging the flesh. But we are supposed to be judging the spirit, because we're all judges. We're all watchmen. We don't judge flesh. We judge spirit. And for those who can't get this, they'll say, well, Georgia, you're picking on this flesh. No, I'm picking on the spirit. That's what's getting judged, and that's what I'm revealing to you is what they said. Ye shall know them by their fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. We got to come out of the wickedness that Israel keeps, I don't know. It's like they just want to keep staying with the flesh. Get out of the flesh, operate out the Spirit. So when the truth comes to you, you can receive it and you understand it and you know it's of our Father. But it's not of the flesh, it's of the Spirit. It's of the seed, the ones that's chosen. Because many of the called will go and operate under those who teach the flesh. Anything else, sister?
No, that was all I had to say.
Well said, well said. Thank you, sister, for adding on. I'm going to wrap it up now, sister, and when you get a little time, when you feel better, not right now because I know, you know, I know the situation, but when you get a little time, feel better, we got to talk, okay?
Okay, will do.
All right. Thank you for calling in, sister. Shalom.
All right. Shalom.
All right, family. That was wonderful. I'm enjoying myself. You see, well, my grandson, he goes to pre-preschool. He's three, but he's going to pre-preschool. And I have an open window now where I didn't have this before. From like 12:45, he's usually, you know, gone to school, and he won't be home till about 4:20. So that is my open time. So what I probably will be doing when I restructure the website, which I plan on doing in the next few weeks here, I'm going to start, we're going to get back to reading the scripture. I'm still going to have our Shabbat lessons where there's special lessons where we go over different things. We will always rebuke because that's what all the children of Israel are supposed to do. So if somebody's telling a lie, we're going to break it down with the word. Whereas it was a curse to you, what you heard before, but now you got a blessing, you got the truth. So we will rebuke with the word, prayerfully give that person who's lying the opportunity to come to the Father spiritually, repent of their sins of leading the flock astray, or if they're coming against one of the Most High's chosen, they got a chance to repent from that mess too. Because this is a serious thing. You better read the Bible and see what it says about all that. Even King David wouldn't mess with Saul because he knew that Saul was called. So if the Father put Saul in that position, although Saul was wicked, he said, I can't come against Saul because the Father chose Saul. You know, it's a serious thing, and people are not looking at what Scripture says. David told you. King David said it. Anyhow, family, we're done with the lesson today, and it was a blessing to everyone. So I'm going to play this, Israel's Redemption, and I just want to say shalom, shalom. Have a blessed day.
In the last days, Israel shall rise again as a mighty nation. Gentile peoples shall serve her. Zion shall be established. Finally, they shall dwell in celestial splendor. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, How hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? The sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gate shall be open continually, they shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Those nations shall be utterly wasted. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despised thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. For they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Because thy sins were increased, I have done these things unto thee. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. But I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, bow down, that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground and as the street to them that went over. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him.